What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with the King of Kentucky Backpacking, Mr. Jeremiah Stringer. We are in the Casa de Stringer tonight.
Casa de Stringer, baby. This is 2 weeks in a row. Jeremiah is producing the show.
I know. Next week will be week three.
You never know what's going to happen. It could go off the rails. You just never know.
It could be incredible. It could be incredible. Your house is already like a winter wonderland.
John came into my house and he's like, wow. Well, first of all, when you pull in the driveway, the sidewalk is lined with light up candy canes.
Yes, it is.
I don't know if
yes,
you saw is. That. And there's giant Christmas ornaments at the end of the driveway. That's because I'm married to Mrs. Stringer.
You know, I have a rule in my house.
What's that?
I only have one rule. Like, I don't make rules like in my house because I don't like being that guy. But I have one rule in my house.
What's your rule?
We do not play a single Christmas song in my house until Thanksgiving is over, because that's my favorite holiday.
Well,
I don't want people ruining my Thanksgiving with their Christmas songs. Now listen, I'm not a bah humbug. As soon as that's over, I'm all in. Let's listen to Christmas music. Let's play it in the house. I'm good. But after Thanksgiving.
Let us know in the comments.
After Thanksgiving.
Let us know how early is too early for Christmas. Because I think in August or September at Walmart, they start putting out the Christmas stuff.
So dumb.
Yeah.
So dumb.
You skip Halloween, you skip Thanksgiving.
But you know, one thing about Christmas is gift giving.
That's true.
And our sponsor for today's episode, Outdoor Beards, is a great place where you can go to find awesome gifts for that special loved one in your life.
Bro, that was the best segue I've ever heard.
I made it up on the spot. Did you like that?
That was good. John is right. Our show today is sponsored by Outdoor Beards. And let me just give you all a little taste of what that looks like. I know this is your flavor of the week, John.
On the rocks. Yes. It's got a little bit of that whiskey flavor to it. I say flavor because you know how like scent and taste go together? You just kind of, I don't know. I call them all flavors.
On the rocks.
This is on the rocks. A little bit of that whiskey smell to it.
Well, I'm in the Christmas spirit and my beard balm of the week is Santa's Beard Balm. Santa's Beard Balm.
It's like chocolate and candy, man.
Yeah, it is chocolate chips and peppermint. It's like candy canes.
It's like a peppermint mocha.
Dude, that's just what I ordered, Bridget.
I know. You just got that for your wife just a few minutes ago.
And that is not the only flavors they have. Now, please don't eat these, folks, okay? We're just joking about the flavors they're seeing.
Now, they are non-toxic. So if you eat them, they're not going to do anything to you, but they're not going to taste good.
They're not going to taste good.
I'm not saying that from experience.
Or is he? Might have got a little in your mouth.
No, I'm not saying it from experience.
But as you can see, if you're watching online, they have a number of different flavors that you can pick from. So
s'more, please. That's a good one.
Or something sweet.
Something sweet's good.
Or if you're in the Thanksgiving mood, you can go with Grandma's Pie.
Which is the season we're in right now, not Christmas.
I digress.
I just want to say that. Okay.
So check out outdoorbeards.com. I think our code's backpacking. If you want to get 10% off of your order. So a huge thank you to Outdoor Beards for sponsoring today's podcast episode and continuing to support the channel.
Our first sponsor ever.
Yes. So thanks again, outdoorbeards.com. Make sure you check them out and keep that beard nice and luscious, just like mine and John's. Look at that, man. Look at that.
Just Jeremiah has a beard.
Yeah. Here, let me show everybody in the camera.
It's been a minute. Like, it's real. You think you'll ever grow it back out to the epic proportions like that I'm seeing in one of those pictures sitting in front of us?
Dude. I know. Look at that picture.
Can you pull that up here so people can see that? Like,
I don't know if y'all can see that.
Turn my eyes up so it'll zoom in on it. It's not going to do it.
Well, anyway, I got to sit on
it. It was long, man. Okay, so we're about to have some people on here who just finished the Appalachian Trail. Jeremiah, without ever doing the Appalachian Trail, looked like someone who just got done doing the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, they know what it's like to be feral. I knew what it like to look feral.
Yes. So basically, Jeremiah was a poser. Dang, bro, there's like 21 comments going on right now.
Oh my gosh, we got so many comments here. We'll bring in our guests here in just a second. Let me take a look at these comments.
After Thanksgiving, for sure. It's always too early. I'm with John. You people are like my heart right now. I just want to say that.
We got a number of people saying after Thanksgiving.
Look at KielQuest. Thanksgiving's over in Canada. It's all good.
That's true. If you see me looking over here to either my right, your left. That is where my comments are. So I'm trying to stay caught up, but John, you try to help me with that, okay? I'm not the best producer in the world. Usually John takes.
Well, next week I produce again at your house because we are actually changing formats, which
John.
You guys should be looking forward to that next week. It'll be a little different.
Something exciting to look forward to.
We've been doing the same thing for 3 years and we're kind of changing it up. So
yeah, we're gonna throw you a little curveball here. Doc's got a little comment here. Just finished off my current batch of beard oil. Oh, Doc makes his own beard oil. Well, Doc, you should try Outdoor Beards and compare.
Or maybe that's like his current batch of Outdoor Beards beard oil.
Yeah, could be. But the peppermint scent, you know where it's at.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's up.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, what everybody has come here for tonight.
It's not us.
It's not us.
It's never us.
It's to be entertained by our guests.
And he looks like he could be a news anchor.
John, I can see him. I can see they're in the green room right now. I can see him laughing at you.
I'm telling you, we were talking before this whole thing, and our guest tonight has the face and the voice. Like, he could be on TV professionally.
Yeah. Born in Jersey, lives in Colorado.
I mean, you talk about a hybrid right there.
Yeah.
Jersey, Colorado.
Not only him, but also joined by another lovely guest.
Who could also be on TV.
Yes. Yes. Great folks here. We got Greg
and Kate.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Hey, guys.
So let's start off with.
I just thought of something.
What?
You know who he really looks like? I think Greg could be Bruce Wayne.
Is that what it is?
He could be Bruce Wayne, dude. I could see Greg being Batman. Like,
that's what I'm
Batman. Look, he's got the square jaw and everything.
Yes. Dude. That's a real man right there.
He is.
He doesn't have to grow out a beard like me to hide my non-square jaw.
Dude.
Now, you've got the double threat going now, Jeremiah. You've got the flow and the beard.
Hey, that's true. Thank you.
And he's smart because he puts a really ugly chubby dude next to him so he looks even better on camera. Like, he's also brilliant.
I do what I can, but I cannot endorse what John has just said. So,
because he knows it's true.
No, I didn't say that. Those are not my words. So you all are Greg and Kate, but whenever you're out in the woods, you go by different names. Could you hit us with those to start off the show?
I'm Platinum. That'll explain that.
All
right, Platinum and Cottage. John, should we first start off with hearing where these names come from?
Yeah, I think I know. I'm going to try and guess Greg's. I'm not going to try and guess Platinum because I have a feeling it's a curveball. I feel like it's not what I think it is. So give us the Platinum story. Let's hear where Platinum came from.
Yeah, let's start with
Platinum. So Platinum, for those of you that are familiar with hiking the Appalachian Trail, there's white blazing. There's also blue blazing and yellow blazing and pink blazing and platinum blazing. So when I first started off on the trail.
That's a new one. Hold up. Explain platinum blazing. I don't even know what that is. I've never heard that one. I've heard all the other ones. I never heard platinum blazing.
So platinum blazing is maybe when you're on a slightly different budget than what's recommended as an AT budget. And maybe you stay at one too many hotels instead of hostels.
That sounds like my wife.
Yeah.
So maybe your experience is a little platinum. So I initially got the name from some friends who said, "Oh, you're platinum blazing."
That's awesome.
Based on my experience.
But you know that only saying that because they're jealous because they wish they were platinum blazing.
I've since, humbled my
come down to everyone else's level.
I came down off the ivory tower.
Not totally, though. Trust me. She did not totally.
Platinum. I like it.
That's cool. I never heard of platinum blazing.
No, I never heard of it either.
Dang, man. We've been doing this for 3 years and we've never heard of that.
So if you want to do the AT the real way, do it platinum blaze.
Well, my wife and I are planning on doing the Camino de Santiago, and I've been saving. And I got a feeling that we might do a little platinum on that.
Look at the All Things Outdoor comment there at the bottom.
Oh, All Things Outdoors. Only go next month I can go platinum.
That's the truth. That's the truth. That's where the big money comes from. That's where the big money comes from right there.
That's funny. Yeah.
Fancy cool pants quest. Through hiking.
Yeah, that's right. So we got platinum. And John, you say that you're wanting to guess.
Okay, so Greg's been he's commented on the podcast many times.
Yeah, and my channel too. I don't know.
He's commented on my channel some things. And one thing I've noticed is that almost everything he uses is from cottage companies. And is that where the name comes from?
That's exactly where it comes from. And I didn't get my trail name all the way until like Fontana Village. And this guy, Smokestack, we were sitting around one night, we're talking about different gear and all that. And I'm throwing out names like, you know, Six Moon Designs and UGQ and my favorite company, Chicken Tramper. And he's just kind of looking at me like, you know, Bambi in the headlights, you know. And I explained to him, you know, the cottage companies. And he was like, that should be your trail name. So that's how I got cottage.
So your name is basically the fact that you celebrate the little guy.
Exactly. And I tell you what, you guys got me started down that route with Chicken Tramper when you had those guys on doing their first podcast here with you.
Wow.
And I bought that 25 liter day pack from them as I was watching the podcast.
Well, that is probably our first on-air success story.
Yeah, it is, really.
Of Chicken Tramper.
Yeah, I remember it was so funny when we had them on, and you're going to love us, Greg, because we can see you guys backstage in the green room. Like, nobody else can see what we can see when we're doing this. And so we got done with that first episode with them, and we put them in the green room so we could talk to them afterwards. And we looked down, and they are, like, jumping up and down, cheering, slapping high fives, freaking out because they just got to do this thing and got to advertise their company for the first time on a bigger platform. And he said the next month they had so many orders, and now they get so many orders, you've got a waiting list to get their backpacks now.
Yeah, and it's not because of us. That was just
we gave them their first platform.
Yeah.
We gave them the first chance to have a platform, and then it kind of went from there. Other people started getting them on, and they started getting involved with garage-grown gear. And
right.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, and that's everybody I ran into on the trail that recognized the brand, or if I saw somebody with some of their products, I talked to them about it. And because I entered into a partnership program with them, so they sent me five of the wallets and a bunch of stickers and all. So I was handing them out every 100 miles. I would give away another wallet to somebody who was really like an exceptional guy. Like this one guy, Peninsula Pete, was hiking with his dad, Scree, and Scree was blind. So Peninsula Pete was more or less helping him through this hike. So I, you know, it's an exceptional thing. So I said, okay, I want to reward you with this wallet.
That's cool. Wow. That's cool.
That's wild.
That's great that you've connected with those guys. Cause like, I know you're a huge proponent for them. Like,
absolutely.
Anytime I've done a video talking about any backpacks, you always say, yeah, but they're still Chicken Tramper.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tom Walker said, I won Greg's second place Chicken Tramper wallets. Thanks, Greg. Well, a thumbs up.
You said a late
before I hit the AT, I was hoping to get to 2,000 people, 2,000 subscribers on YouTube. I didn't hit it, but I had my giveaway anyway. And first place was actually a Melly giveaway where I went out to Leadville and had the winner on my phone as I was shopping for him. So he basically picked up Melly. And second place was a gift card to Chicken Tramper.
That's awesome. Wow. Now, you're a big Melly fan, and I know this because of Taylor McDonald. I was down in North Carolina with him back in May, and he was talking about you getting him and his wife Melanzanas.
Yep.
And telling me you have quite the affinity for those things.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's a Colorado company.
It really is a Colorado thing. We went on a hike in the Garden of the Gods yesterday, out of five people, two of them commented on his Melly. I was like, what is the Melly?
Now, okay, so coming from Florida, what are the differences for you, like in the hiking community in Florida versus the hiking community in Colorado?
Yeah, Platinum is from Florida, by the way.
Yes, Platinum is from Florida.
I am from Florida, Orlando specifically. And well, the number one thing, I had to buy a jacket when I got out here.
Let me say one thing here. We have family down in Orlando, and whenever they come up north, they bring a jacket to share. They just don't. They literally don't.
You really only need like a melee, but
yeah,
that of warmth you need. And you know, Florida, it's only two seasons, summer and Christmas. So
that's right. That's funny. That's so funny.
Our hiking is quite different. I do a lot of trail running in Florida, and so we have a lot of alligators and all kinds of snakes and wild boar on trail, and it's very, very common to see that kind of wildlife. And being out here, I have seen prairie dogs. That's about it.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, so what about pythons? I've heard like that's become a thing in Florida now because of people like having them as pets and then just releasing them in the wild.
They're an invasive species and really kind of taken off over South Florida, but I can't really speak for Orlando. I have not seen them in Florida, but I did have a snake fall out of a tree right next to me when I was trail running once, and that did kind of freak me out.
So shoot straight, did you scream?
I just looked at it and I was like, oh, there's the snake that just fell out of the sky.
So you recently moved to Colorado. And I assume that you all didn't know each other before you had started the Appalachian Trail. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't you tell us how you all met, kind of your mileage before you met up, and then how many miles y'all got to hike together? You, and it's not just you all. We did have some other people that weren't able to join us, but you kind of have, y'all kind of have your own little trail family while you're out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually, let me go back to coming out of the Smokies of Standing Bear Hostel. And that's when I first, in the Smokies, is when I ran into Ledge. He was hiking with another guy named Mantis. And I want to say at the time, they were mentioning this platinum person. I'm like, who's platinum? And I guess you were behind them at the time. But actually, we didn't meet until later on, Pennsylvania?
Maybe Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. But it's really weird on the trail because we had been hiking like around each other the entire time. And, you know, you can go for like a month or two at a time and miss somebody because just as simple as, you know, I ducked off a trail to, you know, whatever, filter water, and she hiked through.
And yes, you can that just, much.
So I kept hearing about Greg, cottage from other hikers on the trail, friends of mine, and they would show me his social media profiles and like, oh, can you believe Greg posted this on YouTube? This is so funny. And I was like, how have I not met this man?
That's awesome.
I got a little clip here. Now, I'm producing the show today. And if you know me, sometimes technology doesn't work with me. But I have like a little 15-20 second clip. And I wasn't sure if you could kind of share with me if this was kind of the core part of your all's group. All right. Now, how much of that was your all's kind of core trail family?
Yeah, that's it right there. And for me, that's what I really, you know, joined them very close to the end. Up until then, I would like hike with people for a bit, and then I would, you know, go off on my own. I really enjoy hiking with myself, so I never said I really had a tramley, but I described it as a neighborhood.
I think a lot of us met, most of us met almost at the very beginning. Once we got through Georgia and got into North Carolina, I think a lot of us connected at that point just because we had some really bad weather and there was a lot to commiserate around. And that helped us create kind of really amazing friendships.
But I'm not going to lie, I got a little misty eyed saying that because I miss those folks. I really do.
Well, I mean, you spent every day, you know, hiking that for 6 months. What, Kate, I think you posted on those 190 days. Is that right?
It took me 190 days to finish the trail. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So over 6 months of the year.
Yeah, slightly more than 6 months. And it does feel like that is your life, and you have moved out into the woods, and now you are living on the trail, and that is your life. That is how, you know, you go about your day to day.
Yeah, and how weird is it? So, Platinum, you may not know this, but I did the Vermont Long Trail. So mm-hmm. you all kind of done 100 miles of the same as me. And then mine kind of split off and kept going north, as where your all's kind of went toward Maine. But that gave me a little taste of what thru hiking would be like if I were to do it for multiple months. And how weird is it whenever you go from living that life for 4 to 6 months, and then you have to kind of reintegrate in society? Did y'all go through the same things I did, and just how weird it was?
I think we're still assimilating.
Yeah.
It's been 45 days, I think, today, since we've been off trail. I keep a daily journal. I have a 100 days post-trail journal that I'm keeping just to see how things are going. And I think once you come home, everything seems, you change. Before I left, everybody said the trail is going to change you. And I was like, yeah, right. I mean, it's me. How can I possibly change that much? And you don't even realize that it's happening. And when you get home, you step into the same shoes, but you're no longer the same person.
Yeah.
And I've used the analogy of when a snake sheds its skin, mm-hmm. You really can't crawl back into that old skin, even though it's the exact replica of you and you once wore that skin and it was yours. But once you've crawled out of it, to go back into that skin, you just don't quite fit just right. And that is my best analogy to coming back home. Yeah. You just don't quite fit just right back into your old life.
So yeah, did you go through any kind of depression coming off the trail?
I didn't.
He didn't. I would say I certainly felt a sense of just like loss of a community, loss of friendships. I definitely missed some of the people that I got very close to on the trail. I had this nightmare where I was waking up in my own bed. And I just remember waking up and thinking, oh gosh, I'm home. I'm in my own bed. And then I woke up and I was still in my tent on my sleeping pad in my sleeping bag. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank God I'm still here on the trail, because I just enjoyed it so much. And so for me, post-trail depression was, I loved being out in nature. I loved waking up every morning in my tent. I loved when it rained. I loved the tapping of rain on the nylon of the tent. I even loved the cold mornings. I loved the hot mornings. I mean, everything about it, for me, it was just like perfect.
And that's, I was kind of lucky when I got back, actually a couple of weeks ago. I needed to get back on trail, so I went and hiked segment 1 and 2 of the Colorado Trail.
Nice.
Yeah, kind of froze my butt off one night, but that's okay. It's all part of it. But just a little side note, I just saw a comment down there, and I want to say, hey, Toy Story, glad you joined us.
Hi, Toy Story.
Speaking of, so Toy Story was just in that clip that I showed, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, welcome, Toy Story. Also, John.
Greg sounds like a young Tom Brokaw. I'm telling you, dude, you got to go apply to some TV stations. Like, you got to. It's got to happen.
Dude, you'd have work tomorrow. Let's look at some of these comments, yeah. Man.
Florida represent. Yeah.
Yeah, Jared. Florida house.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, look at Leonidas. Prairie dog.
Already? Give it time, man. Give it time. It's coming. We promise.
That's funny. Yeah, the Pizza Ninja is actually asking about the poop right away. Did I miss Jeremiah's hard-hitting poop question? Not yet.
Not yet. It's coming.
I haven't asked about the pooping yet. I also saw compliment from the Pizza Ninja. Look at that. Jeremiah's third game.
It's coming enough. Back.
Yeah.
It's coming back, but how long? That's the question we all need to be asking. How long will he torment us with the idea that he's going to cut it off?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I could just grow it all back with outdoor beard products.
You could.
Yeah.
You could.
And then you mentioned the Colorado Trail. Outside Comfort Zone says Colorado Trail. That's my jam. Walked every step twice.
Wow.
Most of them thrice.
That's over 1,000 miles just on that trail.
It is insane. It's so weird. It's almost indescribable how weird it is coming out of the woods and then facing society. Like, even though you have to come out and have interactions with people and do resupplies. So y'all did 1,000 resupplies on the AT. It's not the same as coming back into society and like either going to work if you're back at your jobs yet, or I don't know. I can't understate how excited I was to see my wife after not seeing her after that month. But I cannot also understate how sad it was that you built relationships with these people, and there's nothing that bonds you like doing terribly hard things and like just grinding stuff out. Like, John, you know exactly what I'm talking about because you and Brian did like 2 weeks together on
we did more than 2 weeks. It's just,
well, I mean, like that one stretch, that one stretch, that one chunk at the very beginning. John did, if y'all didn't know, the Sheltoe Trace in Kentucky, and that's over 300 miles. And that's kind of where he started his YouTube journey. But him and Brian, and y'all still hang out now.
Oh, yeah.
That was tough treading. And I know that y'all got a lot of rain and stuff on that trip.
We just got a lot of rain last week, too.
Yeah, that's true. But there's nothing that quite bonds you like the difficulties that you face where everybody has to face the same obstacles.
Yeah, I think when you embrace the suck together, it's easier to embrace. You know what I mean? Like, there's something that connects you when you're in a bad situation together. And as much as we love hiking, there are just days that are not good. And there's days with gear failure and bad weather and injuries. And that stuff's just part of it. And when you go through it with other people, it's amazing how much it bonds you together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I think is very similar to is, I spent 27 years in the Army, and out of those, I had 6 of those years deployed to combat zones. And the bond you create from stuff like that, it's very similar to the trail. And that's what I saw coming back. I was like, these are lifelong bonds. You might not see each other every day, but you're going to talk, you're going to text, whatever. And I guarantee you, there's people from our tramley that we might not see for, I don't know, a year, 2 years, 5 years, but when you come together, you're going to pick up like nothing happened, like it was yesterday.
Yep.
And I think you're right that there are some pretty tough days. There are certainly days where I cried hard tears, but we had such good camaraderie in our tramway. Yep. We laughed, I think, almost every day, like hard belly laughter. So no matter how miserable it got, we just had fun. And I think at the end of the day, like if you can just look at the really worst day that you're having and still giggle about it with your friends. And I mean, we would all pack out beer and wine. And sometimes on the worst days, we would just crack open a beer in the middle of the woods and say, okay, it is what it is today.
Yep.
You got to have something to look forward to on those tough days.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's
hard. Well, speaking of food and drink, KuelQuest has a question for you. If that's okay. Whenever y'all got off trail, what was the first meal whenever you got out?
Oh, for me, I was craving good. It's going to sound funny, but I was craving really good pizza. And I actually, even though I had a ton of pizza on the trail, I went to the best pizza restaurant in Orlando and I ordered my favorite pizza because I just wanted something that was home and comforting and amazing that I loved and I really missed it from home.
Okay, so you have to fill us in. What is the best pizza in Orlando? Because I go to Orlando at least every other year. So
the best pizza in Orlando, and everybody who's from Orlando knows this. It's Pizza Bruno.
Pizza Bruno. I'm putting this down. Okay, I'm going to be there. Pizza Bruno. You marking this down, dude?
I'm going to text my aunt and uncle down there as soon as we get off this podcast. And I'm going to verify Platinum that you're not lying to me. And I will make
it. It's a no fact.
You got to be careful, dude. We don't talk about Bruno. So,
well, I will make it my mission to try their pizza.
Okay.
Are you going to try it?
I'm going to try it. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. She said everyone in Orlando. No. She didn't say some people. See, I'm glad Leonidas caught what I said earlier. We don't talk about Bruno. I was like, nobody caught that. That's crazy. She said everyone knows. It's not like most people really like it. No. Everyone knows. This is fact. So now I got to eat there. Now I got to go.
You got to try it out. Let me know. Report back.
I will.
Greg, did you hit up the Mexican food? Because it looks like Tangent Trails. That's exactly where they're headed.
Yeah. No, I mean, for me, at least my initial craving was fried chicken. I don't know what it was. I wanted fried chicken and like Mountain Dew. Some sort of citrus soda. Mountain Dew, Mellow Yellow, or Sun Drop. I don't know. But
you were basically craving trail food.
Yeah. But even on trail, I would like go to Walmart and get a big thing of like a whole fried chicken and pack that out and take it out on trail with me. So wow. I mean, if you want to follow me, there are chicken bones along the way.
That's wild. That's
hilarious.
That's wild that you didn't get a trail name from that. I saw one guy. He was packing out
Drumstick.
Oh, yeah, right.
That'd be a good name.
They're like, oh, you're a percussionist, right? No.
I literally
like fried chicken. Fried chicken. We saw this one guy, and he was every time he went into town, he would get like 24 donuts, and he would strap those suckers to the back of his backpack, and then just slowly eat them over 3 or 4 days. Is it ridiculous?
That's awesome.
It's kind of like the cool thing about the trail is that personally, I dropped 40 pounds on trail. But you can go and you can do this hike and you can eat like a 17-year-old. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's not like you have to choose between the double cheeseburger or the rack of ribs. You get them both.
Yeah.
You still get out there and you're dropping weight.
So let me ask you this. When you got back off trail, was the eating the hardest thing to transform back to get back to normal eating habits?
Well, yeah. I got off the trail and I decided to run an ultra marathon. So I was still burning calories every day as if I was hiking.
I actually saw a picture of that. That was an ultra marathon in the woods, wasn't it?
It was. It was in northern Georgia in the Nantahala Forest. So it was right back where I started the AT. So it was amazing. Amazing to just be back there. So my eating habits haven't changed, although now I'm not training for anything. So now maybe an issue.
Yeah. So, and most recently, I think my hiker hunger has finally subsided, but yeah, when I got home, I was like, you know, first breakfast, second breakfast, you know, third dinner, you know, it was just crazy.
I love second breakfast, dude.
Yes.
Who doesn't love like third and fourth breakfast?
So Platinum, you, it sounds like you were already kind of an athlete before you hit the trail. And Greg, I don't know if we call you an athlete. You say you dropped 40 pounds, but I bet after getting off the trail, I don't know, this happened to me. I just couldn't believe, like, you know, if I walked up 2 flights of stairs, you don't even break a sweat. Did y'all experience anything like that? Like, it's just unbelievable. Something that ordinarily would at least would make you catch your breath, but then now you're running ultra marathons, et cetera.
Yeah, I signed up for an ultra marathon through Run Bum Races, and I didn't know what to expect, and they didn't know what to expect. I only had 4 weeks in between the trail and the ultra. And I said, okay, you know what? I hiked for 6 months. This is a trail race in the mountains. It's 7,500 feet of elevation gain and loss. I think I'm trained for this. And when I got out there, it was amazing. I was just having fun. Like I mean, yes, it was kind of hard, but it was literally, I felt like I was back home. I'm like, oh my God, it's wet, it's raining, and there's leaves, and it's slippery, and there's rocks. I love this. Awesome. So I do think there's definitely something to be said about hiking for 6 months, 10 hours a day every day.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Most people, when they start off, they say, like, from everything I've seen about the AT, most people start off doing about 9-10 miles a day, and then by the end, they're doing much higher mileage. What was your mileage like the last 4 weeks that you were on the trail?
Low. Because it really messes with your head, because before New Hampshire, I mean, you're busting out 20s or even people up to like 25 miles. And when you finally get up to, what's the first big mountain that we run into?
Blood Mountain?
No. In New Hampshire.
I don't remember.
Moosilaukee.
Oh, yeah.
Once you hit Moosilaukee and you go into the whites, guess what? Your 20, 25 mile days aren't going to happen. And if you knock out 10, good on you. So really for the remainder of the time on trail from the beginning of the whites all the way until the Katahdin, if you can get like an 18 mile day, you know, that's fantastic. And it was probably really strenuous too.
Yeah, I think at the beginning when I first started in Georgia, I was doing 10-mile days, and that for probably 2 weeks, it was 10, 13-mile days at most, and I was wiped. I would eat food, I'd set up my tent, and I'd get in my tent, and I would try to document the day on my phone, and then the phone would fall on my face because I would just fall asleep trying to type something upside down, and it would literally hit me in the face. By the end, I wasn't as exhausted by the end of the day every day, but because the terrain, especially through New Hampshire, southern Maine, was so extreme that I think we weren't doing really more than 13, 15 miles a day. Yeah. I mean, the last segment of the very last kind of 200 miles, it got flatter and easier. So we were doing maybe 16, 18 mile days. But
they were still hard days.
But they were still pretty hard days.
Well, I was watching some of Greg's videos because we haven't really talked much about it, but you had well over 100 videos kind of documenting your journey along each day that you're filming out there. And I was going through watching and I was cracking up a little bit because you made it to Vermont and you were like talking about how people complain about the mud and how it wasn't that bad and people call it Vermud, but you were just kind of outraged. You're like, what the heck? Everybody's complaining about Vermont, but then here I am in New Hampshire and this is like a slog fest.
Yes. I said New Hampshire because of all the bogs and stuff. There's some bogs that, you know, you're walking across these boards. If you were to fall off, we'd probably never see you again. It's just,
the you would literally step off like this wooden slippery plank that's, you know, like 6 inches wide. And your foot sometimes just slides right off it because it's all covered in mud. And if you step off it, your leg is going in like up to your knee, sometimes your thigh into mud. So these bogs were like no joke.
Yeah. And there's one of my videos where Ledge was behind me and I asked him to put his pole down into his trekking pole down into the mud and it went all the way up to the handle. But I said, you know, New Hampshire is what Louisiana would be if it had mountains.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Now, did either of y'all actually slip and take a swim in any of those bogs?
I slipped, but I did not make it into the bog. No. I think it's so hard every day, all through New Hampshire and through Maine, where I was covered in bruises everywhere.
The Watts, that whole area up there, I mean, New Hampshire, New York, Maine, Vermont, like that whole New England area up there. I mean, it is just rugged. And
I heard people say that once you've done 90% of the trail, 90% of the effort begins.
Yeah.
And well, then the last two states, New Hampshire and Maine.
Well, let me ask you this. What was the scariest spot on the trail for you? Were there any spots that just got really hairy and kind of had you going, I don't know about this?
I think the scariest part for me, when I walked into North Carolina, the Smoky Mountains, and it was a beautiful morning, and I was by myself, and I was on the phone with my mom, and I was telling her, I'm like, it's gorgeous, and she's nervous that I'm out in the woods by myself, and all of a sudden, I see, like, gray clouds come in, and I'm from Florida, and all of a sudden, I see, like, this white stuff in the air, and I'm like, Mom, there's rain or something is going on in the air. And then I was like, oh my God, it's snowing. It literally started snowing and I walked into a snowstorm and I didn't pay attention enough to the weather forecast to realize that I would be walking right into a snowstorm, which lasted, I would say, probably 48 hours.
Yeah, it was a couple days.
We had a couple of feet of snow on the trail, and everybody kind of together in the shelters and building massive fires to try to stay warm. Yeah. And people put up their like tent tarps and their hammock tarps as walls to the shelter to try to block some of the like wind and snow coming into the shelters.
Yeah.
That was probably the scariest because it dropped into the teens, and I was certainly not prepared from just my gear. I wasn't prepared to be in the teens.
Well, Florida girl in the teens. That's no
fun. It was rough.
That's no fun.
Yeah, we went to Pennsylvania and did Oil Creek, and it was like 14 degrees one night, and we had the tarp, like we were staying in shelters and we were building massive fires and just put the tarps up as wind breaks, because the wind will cut you in two. And the Smokies, like no joke, people die there every year, you know, that try to get out on trail. What time of the year were you all up there? I know the elevation is quite a bit higher, so you're going to get storms and stuff.
Yeah, it was end of March, beginning of April.
Yeah, beginning of April. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so you're at the end of winter there, but you're still getting the precipitation.
And it was kind of weird, like when I left the Smokies and started hiking down from there, you know, so you're up at elevation and you have all different foliage and it's totally different. But when you get down to the lower part, which is, I guess, more or less about sea level, everything was green and you got all these things in bloom. And I'm like, it just snowed a few days ago.
It's crazy. The elevation, man. So the highest point is in the Smokies, right?
Yeah, Clingman Stone.
That's where we were for the snowstorm, and that was definitely the scariest time I think I personally had on trail, just because I was not actually adequately prepared for that kind of weather to come in.
Yeah,
and we were all just stuck there because once it came in, you really couldn't get off the mountains, and all the roads to Clingman Dome were actually closed, and there were a couple of people who actually ended up staying the night in the bathrooms there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you been up there, John?
Yeah.
Clingman's Dome. Have you ever seen a real good view up there?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You can see so far.
It's beautiful.
You all did not get that good view, did you? It was all softening in.
The day that I went up through there, it was clear as can be. It was day after all the snow.
Oh, okay.
And everything was all slushy and slick, and I fell like six times.
That's what I was going to ask about, because if that thing gets covered in ice and slush, that has to be miserable to walk up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going up the tower and down wasn't a problem. It was after I left there and started going down on the trail, you had the big boulders and they're all covered with slush.
Yeah.
And I ate it six times. I broke one of my trekking poles. I was not a happy camper.
Yeah. I couldn't feel my feet because all I had was trail runners that immediately soak through in this slush, and then, you know, you're hiking for 8 hours in freezing snow slush.
Were you afraid of frostbite? I mean, with it being that cold and doing the trail runner thing?
I just kind of put it out of my mind because I didn't have another option at that point. So I had a Walmart bag on me from a grocery trip maybe, and I cut it in half, like ripped it in half, and I tied them around my socks.
Oh, good call. Good call.
My socks a little bit. It worked a little bit, but it wasn't great. By the time I got to camp and to the next shelter where I was sleeping, made a fire and I put my feet up to the fire, my feet were on burning like pins and needles, like stabbing my feet because I couldn't feel them anymore.
Yeah. Oh, that's awful.
Oh my God. That is a good call on the bag.
Yeah, the plastic bag keeps all the heat in. That's a good move.
It definitely helps, because I did try to take them off because I was like, I don't know if these are working. And I tried to walk without them. And I was like, oh, no, I'm putting them right back on. They were working.
Well, we have another question here for you. And we got poop coming soon.
We're about five. T-minus 5 minutes from poop, everybody. Just prepare yourselves.
But you're not going to want to miss this, because we need to talk. There. So Tangent Trails ask, did you all see many bears? They'd heard about some hunting bear activity, and then there has been quite a bit of chit chat about requiring bear canisters in different areas. I know it's very common out west, kind of where you live, but not so common in the east. Mostly it's just hang your bear bag.
Because most black bears in the east are chicken. Like you raise your arm, you wave your arms around, they run away. So
yeah. So did y'all have any run-ins with the good
old? Well, I'm gonna address it first because she's a bear magnet.
Oh wow!
So actually, I stopped hanging my bear bag probably in like North Carolina.
You feel like it's a dirty little secret people don't talk about is hanging the bear bag, and how most of the time in the shelters, you know, if there's a little hook in there, you just hook it so squirrels.
Yeah, well, if I was in a shelter and if there's either a bear box or a pole or a cable or something, yeah, I would hang it. But yeah, if I was camping by myself, I would just put it outside my tent. Mm-hmm. The first bear I saw was in New Jersey. And that's also when I first started to hang my bear bag again, because, you know, everybody talks about that's got the highest population of bears. Right. So, yeah, I saw one in New Jersey. It was very early in the morning. It was about 20 minutes away from where all of us were camping. And the second one was I saw three, a mom and two cubs in Connecticut. And they were going up and down a tree. And I know most people are like, hey, bear, hey, bear. And me, I'm going, it's so fluffy. Come struggle.
Yeah, hikers are more excited to see a bear than they are afraid to see a bear. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, man, I haven't seen a bear yet. Did you see a bear?
But how many did you see?
So I saw 14 bears on the trail. And
what?
Wait, how many?
14.
14. I'd lose count. Now, have you contacted Odie of the Hiker Yearbook to find out if that's a record?
It might be.
That could be record.
We could be talking to a record holder right now.
That's true.
I have a theory because I'm not like a very big person and I'm kind of like a quiet hiker. Uh-huh. I just kind of slowly do my own thing. And I'm not a fast hiker, so I don't make a lot of noise. So I have like bears just come right across right in front of me, across the trail. I actually walked up on a bear that didn't even notice that I was there, and I had to like make a little noise for him to see me. Wow. I had a mom and two cubs come into my campsite at night. I want to say it was maybe in Tennessee or North Carolina. And I thought it was another hiker going to the bathroom in the middle of the night. I just heard a lot of footsteps kind of walking at a distance away. And I thought, oh, there's somebody going to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And 20 minutes later, they're still going to the bathroom. In my mind, I'm like, why is it taking them so long to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night? Just pick a spot. It's pitch black out. And then the footsteps kept getting closer to my tent. And then I realized, oh, that is a bear. And there are multiple bears stomping around because you can hear them like snorting and breathing around.
Look at John's face.
The snorting and breathing thing. So when I was doing the Sheltoid Trace, me and my buddy Brian, we're hiking along, and right in the woods next to us, there's thick cover. Mm. And there's something huge walking through the woods. And then we started hearing the snorting and the breathing. And there was a bear. Literally, I'm talking like just beyond Jeremiah is for me right now in the woods next to us.
Outside your tent?
No, walking alongside of us on the trail.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so when I hear that, that's bringing back memories of knowing PTSD. There's a bear right there. And I remember that night we camped like not even a mile from that spot. And I remember we walked to another place to cook our food.
Oh, wow.
And then came back to our campsite to go to bed because we didn't want any smell of food near us because we knew there were bears out there.
Bermuda Triangle.
Say what? That again.
Bermuda Triangle.
Oh,
you create a triangle 25 feet apart where you cook your
food. Yeah.
Away from your tent, 25 feet away from you, where you store your food.
Yep.
So, was it North Carolina? Is that where you saw most of your bears?
Actually, all throughout. I think after Pennsylvania, I didn't see. There was only one other instance where I heard a bear run by me because one of the hikers I was with spooked the bear, but I actually did not see him. So Pennsylvania was like the last place I saw.
So for the first half of the trail, you saw 14 bears.
Yes.
Like, let's just knock this down from not over the entire AT, just the first half of the AT. Saw 14 bears. That's like a bear a week.
Yeah, Tom says I wouldn't see 14 bears if I had hanging on me. I feel like I wouldn't either.
Crazy. That's funny. That's really funny.
Oh man.
Did she look at Ben McMillan put down there? Did she hike in a zoo?
Yeah, so I did see one bear in a zoo, but that's not part of the 14.
So if you want to have a bear encounter where you go hiking, hike with her.
Fun fact,
bears poop in the woods.
That's
yes,
true.
They do.
Speaking of that, it's now been 5 minutes, and it's time to ask the question, Jeremiah.
Oh, yeah. John's got the internal timer.
Well, actually, I'm watching the timer up on the side there.
It's not internal. Okay.
I would love to say it's internal, but it's not. So, we got to ask the question. Do either one of you have a great poop story from the trail?
Or do both of you?
Together.
Yes, we're pooping together.
There was a privy. Wait, hold up.
Was this a single hole privy?
I don't know what I think about people having a combined poop story. There's something nerve, right? A little bit. Oh, we do. A little too close there,
this
Greg.
This is the first on the show. We're not that close. Okay, go ahead.
Well, mine actually involves you and you didn't know it. Pennsylvania, I was ahead of her in Ledge and you know, you got the call on nature and you're hiking along and next thing you know, it's, oh, so I dashed off and it's in the woods were kind of open and I got behind a tree and I'm doing my thing. And I look over and I hear some noise and she's actually walking down the trail. So now I'm like scooting around the tree. I got my pants around my ankles and I'm scooting around the tree so she can't see me. And as she goes past, I look over and here comes Ledge. So now I'm scooting back around to the other side. But neither one saw me.
I had a dog that did that at my house one time where he just like pooped in a circle. And so like it was just dropping everywhere. So how did you get it back in the cat hole? My question.
Well, actually I was done with the effort at the time, but I was still cleaning up when those guys showed up.
It's always somebody else that spoils the party.
I know, man. I
know. That's hilarious. Now you know.
Hilarious.
Yeah, and what about you, Platinum? Do you have any poop-related things that you want to share? I don't want to put you on the spot.
But I think the worst state to go poop in is Pennsylvania.
Oh, it's
Roxylvania.
Because it's Roxylvania. And how do you dig a hole in the rocks?
See, she doesn't know about the rock method, you know, where you move the rock out of the way, use that, and put the rock back.
Yeah, you move the rock, you already got a 4-inch hole.
That's like pro level pooping in the woods.
So to me, I was always freaking out. Like, I cannot dig a hole in these rocks. How are you supposed to do this?
But if you have the Hilltop Packs Dirt Diggler, I bet you could dig through rocks.
There you go.
I saw a comment earlier. I can't find it now. There's so many comments, man. There's so many comments, but he talked about the Dirt Diggler.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if y'all heard about the Dirt Diggler.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hearing about it now.
Okay. It's just a, you know about the Deuce of Spades.
Yeah.
Right?
She's going, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like an ultralight trowel. Well, Ian makes one. It's same thing, but different. And I didn't know, but I saw a little marking, even if you got the big one, it has a 6-inch mark on there. So you can stick the trowel down in there.
And you know how far you're digging.
You know how far you're digging.
Yep.
Yep.
And it goes right through roots, like little tiny roots and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I know. I used it last week and it dug right through those roots, man.
And it's a funny movie reference. But anyway.
The great thing I think about the AT when it comes to that is that the soil is so damp and everything. A lot of times I didn't have to use my trowel. Uh-huh. So either it was like a rock method or I could dig out like using a trekking pole or my heel or something like that and dig out that way. Well, and, yes, I'm a bidet guy, big time.
Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with feeling fresh on trail, man. Yeah. Nothing wrong with feeling fresh on
trail. Yeah,
it was real. You know, there's many poop hacks. It's hard to learn them all. You can also roll over a dead log. For shortcuts to digging.
Yep.
And if you dig a hole, you know, if you have a comfortable height log with a nice mossy surface, you can kind of let your butt hang over and it's almost like a toilet seat. Love that too.
I have done that for sure.
It is nice to hold on to a tree when you're squatting because then you can just like lean back and it's very
Have you guys seen this new sling that's out?
Oh my God. How many messages
have you got? I got like at least 10 messages. I mean, everybody I know was sending. Okay, so there's this thing now. We'll have to show it on next week's episode, but
yeah,
we'll you literally wrap it around a tree and put it around your waist and it just holds you in place.
It's a strap.
Sit back. It's a strap. It's better. I think it's better than a hammock.
Now, I wouldn't go that far.
It's easier.
You can sit in the hammock. The strap is.
Yeah, you just lean back.
Yeah, but it's based on leverage.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing.
It is a similar design.
And less opportunity to miss.
Hey, that is true. You're not going to get it dirty.
No, that's important.
We'll show it
that's
next time.
The support you can get is amazing because your quads are tired.
Yes.
And so to go to the bathroom, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
My quads hurt.
Yeah, sometimes you can't get that full squat going on. So,
this is going to be happy.
I will throw this in here, too. Thank you, Ben, for supporting the channel. And you're welcome for the shameless plug.
Even though it wasn't really a shameless plug.
No, I really
actually use it. It's
actually in my video today. I dropped a video today. So there's another shameless plug.
That's a shameless plug right there.
I dropped a video today. And actually, it's not in that one. It's
in
my next week's video.
I'm in your video.
You're in my video today, but I got one coming out next week that has a dirt dig.
Well, I'm going to give Ben a plug here.
Did you use that on the trail?
Yeah, that was the bag I took with me for the entire trail. Never once did anything get wet inside. There was no problems in saying, yes, that's my bag.
That's the best part about those bags.
Everybody's got a blue bag.
A little glint tape on it so I could see in the early morning or late at night. And fantastic products.
Yeah, look at Ben. You know, he says, nice bag.
Yeah. So do you guys want to share with everybody how they can find you guys online and how they can discover more about both of you? Because, Kate, I didn't even know who you were until Greg posted that thing on Instagram today and I saw it. And so why don't you share a little bit about yourself and how people can find you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and only on Instagram at Kate_hikingadventure. And I only post things about hiking. And now I'm exploring Colorado.
Okay, I'll throw this up there so everybody can see this. Looking on YouTube, Kate_hikingadventure. And look at you running.
Look at that picture right there. Bring that one up right there.
This one? Oh, yeah.
There we go. Zoom in on that. There we go.
That's the Tramaly. That's us finishing. I'm in the light blue jacket, baby blue jacket.
Yeah, there's you and Greg right there.
Wait, is this you on the left? Yeah. Wow.
Incredible. That's awesome.
So, yeah, give her a follow on her her Instagram. And then Greg, what about you, man?
Yeah, both YouTube and Instagram, Greg Morton Outdoors. Now I'm off the trail, you know, going to go back to focus on, you know, Colorado trails and hiking out here. Plan is right now, though, is I want to hike in, you know, a bunch of segments of the Colorado Trail down to the Twin Lakes area. And then next year, you know, finish up the Colorado Trail in about 30 days. And there's that, you see there, there's that twin seat toilet that was in Maine.
Yeah, I see that.
So, yeah, you can poop with
one. We did not use it together, I promise.
That's really good to know. I just want to say that.
Yeah, see, I got your video here, your summit day.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to check out, you have 145 episodes, so plenty of content that you guys can consume.
I know who he looks like now.
Who does he look like?
Mike Rowe. Dirty Jobs. That's who he looks like. That's it. That one right there where he's got his hand up doing the five.
Uh-huh.
That is Mike Rowe. That's, you are famous.
Oh my God.
He's got his own TV show and everything.
Wow. So follow you on Instagram, follow you on YouTube as well. Right. And you said you're going to be putting out a lot of content for the Colorado Trail.
Yep. I'm going to put out stuff about that. I know everybody does a lot of post AT videos and stuff like that. So I'll try and be original with that. Some of those are going to be coming out. I know everybody's, you know, we're all a bunch of geardos and we love, you know, talking about gear and everything. So yeah, definitely put out videos about that. But this person needs a YouTube channel now.
Oh, there's the peer pressure.
There it is.
Peer pressure for YouTube. Yeah. Maybe one day coming YouTube near you.
There you go.
They'll have to follow you on Instagram and stay up to date.
And just let me know whenever you guys get on the local Colorado news network so we can
Well, we want to say a huge thank you to you guys coming on here. It was fun. so much more that we could talk about. I think it would go without saying that we would have both Greg and Platinum back on.
100%.
And would definitely love to hear more about
100%.
The AT hike and Colorado too. I love Colorado. So we'll definitely be on the lookout for that content.
Yeah. And if folks come out here, you know, to Colorado, and I've said it to like the Show Brothers, I'm like, listen, you know, if you guys get in a jam, you can always reach out to me. And I say that to anybody who's out here. If you get in a jam while you're hiking the CT or CDT or something, you can reach out to me on like Instagram, whatever. And I'll be more than happy to help people out.
Or if we're coming out there to hike, maybe Greg would come hike with us.
We're going to do some trail magic. We've already discussed the big plan for some big trail magic.
Yeah.
There you go. That's awesome.
Repaying the trail.
Yeah. I would love it if you guys came out here. I'd be more than happy to hike with you.
That'd be great. Awesome.
Well, if y'all hang out for just a minute, we'll talk to you for a couple minutes after the show, if you have time. But yeah. thanks again so much for coming on here.
Thanks.
See ya.
Another good group of people to talk to tonight, man.
Lovely people.
We never lose with these interviews ever.
No, somehow we were batting 1,000.
I got a little nervous though when they said they had a combined poop story. I'm not gonna lie. there was a touch of like concern there. I was like, if that's what a trail family is all about, count me out, man.
True trail bond.
Woo, yeah. But no, that's some awesome stories. And
now, do you have to wipe for each other?
I'm just gonna pretend like that question was never asked on a live episode of this podcast.
John said edit that one out.
We're gonna edit that out now.
I'm just kidding. Well, John, are we squared away for our guest for next week?
We are. We got our buddy Jesse coming on, Jesse Manti from Backcountry Forward. And probably a lot of you are going, does he still make videos? And the truth is, he hasn't for about a year. Uh-huh. But
we're going to get an update.
He's making a comeback. And we're going to talk about that next week and talk about his Great Divide Trail hike, which is probably one of the most demanding long trails in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. Those northern trails, I was talking to you before the show.
Yeah.
Those are insane.
Hiking through Canada is not an easy thing. Not an easy thing at all. Also, did I tell you what I discovered this week?
No, what'd you discover?
So I was a land between the lakes.
Uh-huh. And we'll have to talk about that in a future episode.
There are armadillos in Kentucky.
I saw you sent me a clip, dude.
I was 3 feet from one.
I hate armadillos. First of all,
why do you hate armadillos? What did they ever do to you?
Well, they are, I think they spread diseases.
Well, they do carry the bacteria that causes leprosy.
Yes, and I don't want leprosy, so I don't want... Well,
Jeremiah, I didn't pet it.
I saw it scurrying around.
It scurried around. I'm not going to pet an armadillo.
If you had told me ahead of time, I would have put the video on here. We could show it everybody.
We can show it next week.
We can show it next week.
Show it next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was legit. The thing was like feet from me.
Death to armadillos. I said it.
I think they're cute.
I say we kill them all.
I think you're cute in kind of an ugly way.
They are... Yeah.
You know what's not cute in an ugly way?
What's it?
Possum.
Oh, no.
They're just ugly in an ugly way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong.
It's like Michigan sports.
Shots fired.
Did I say that out loud? I did, didn't I? I said that out loud.
All right. I'll sign off with this. Your Ohio State Buckeyes are looking good, man. They're much better than the Cats.
Oh, buddy. I'm so sorry.
I know.
I'm so sorry. You lost to Vanderbilt, and they hadn't won a game against an SEC school in 26 games.
I feel bad about myself. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, man.
I feel worse about them, though. Anyway, I won't get off on a tangent here. I see people.
KillQuest, they heard me say the Michigan comment.
I'm not going to post it.
I'll post it. It's funny, dude. Mm. She goes, whoa, Ohio boy.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. It was a blast.
As always.
Yes. Hopefully see you all next week. On Monday, we'll talk to Jesse. We'll have a great time.
We will. So for myself and for Jeremiah, we'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah, adios, folks.